sermon text from today's gospel reading. That very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nonetheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem.'" The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for today, we have a very clear statement of Jesus that he and the Father are in complete control of what is going to happen when it comes to Jesus' death. Jesus was born to die. He was born to pay for the sins of the entire world. He was born to redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, just as it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And Jesus will hang on the tree of the cross, planted on a hill called Golgotha, just outside of Jerusalem. Some Pharisees, who were, as you remember, were a group advocating for the separation of the Jewish race, you know, keep them separated from the Jewish race, from everybody else, and following the law of Moses to the exact letter, basically came to Jesus and said something to the effect of, "Just move it on down the road. Just, you know, get out of here. Herod wants to kill you." Well, the thing was, the leaders of the Pharisees wanted Jesus dead also. And in this case, it seems that they wanted to be rid of Jesus. They want to scare him off, possibly reminding him very subtly that, hey, Herod killed John the Baptist, and you could be next in line. So why don't you just get out of this area and go take care of yourself in that way. You could be next. Jesus wants them to know that it's not Herod who's in control of the situation, but it is Jesus himself who's in control of the situation. Jesus knows the Father's plans, and it doesn't really matter to him what that sly politician Herod wants. The Father will accomplish his own purposes. Jesus will march into Jerusalem, right into the jaws, not of the old fox, but into the jaws of Jewish and Roman power. Jesus' response, "Go tell that fox," basically saying, "Listen up. Go tell that fox, listen up. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to continue casting out demons. I'm going to continue curing people. I'm going to continue doing this until I finish my course." Jesus' time had not yet come. And besides that, the prophets had basically declared that the prophets had a tendency to die in Jerusalem, and that's where he was headed to die. Jesus is in control, and it is he who is setting the timing of the way things are going to be. The timing for the sacrifice of the unblemished lamb given up for the guilt of the world. And what is this hour that is to come? It is the hour when Jesus will hang on the cross and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And cry out, "It is finished." And what is finished? The payment for the sins of the entire world will be finished. The hour of the consummation of his work on our behalf would be achieved when on the cross Jesus gives up his life for each and every single one of us, for all of our sins, for all of our rebellion against God. All had been proclaimed by the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah had spoken a great deal about Jesus and about the rejection that the Messiah would face. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The Psalms speak of him also. "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you let your Holy One see corruption," so writes the psalmist. Jesus will go to Jerusalem to give up his life in sacrifice for each and every single one of us. And Jesus laments over the city. He expresses his desire to save the city and its inhabitants. And he uses the very poignant example of a mother hen protecting her chicks from danger. Yet like a wayward chick, their hearts are full of foolishness. Jesus had also referred to his people as a sheep and how he longed to be their shepherd, leading them to green pastures. But they had rejected him who is the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah. And shortly, in a very short amount of time, Jesus will be in Jerusalem on a Sunday. And they will welcome him with palms in their hands, crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And very wouldn't be long before after that, the men of the Sanhedrin would have the people whipped up into a murderous frenzy and be yelling and crying out by Friday, "Crucify him, crucify him." The shepherd would become the sacrificial lamb, the guilt offering for the sin of the world from Adam to the last person who will exist at the return of Jesus in glory. All sinners, all people who believe in Jesus are redeemed by his blood, the blood and death of the God's sacrificial lamb. This was as God the Father had chosen for the plan of salvation. As Peter preached later at his sermon on Pentecost, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. The Jewish leaders would be the catalyst. The Roman leaders would be the instrument of fulfilling that which was foretold in the Psalms and the prophets. The Messiah would give up his life on the cross for the sins of the entire world. You see, this didn't happen at random. And it wasn't people who were in charge of it. It was the Lord God, our Father in heaven, who was in charge of this. He was in control of the events the whole time. As Jesus willingly suffered the scourging, he willingly suffered the mocking, he willingly suffered the nails for each and every single one of us. Our God did not forget the world then. He has not forgotten the world now. He has overseen all things, all occurrences, all the happenings of the world to his glory, as people around the globe are called by the Christian message to follow Jesus unto eternal life. Herod the fox, the eagle of Rome, the Lamb of God, all guided by the will of our Almighty Creator to bring life and immortality upon the people of earth. As we will see in these coming weeks, Jesus is setting his face towards Jerusalem. He is going to Jerusalem, and we're going to go with him to hear the voice of the Father coming from the glorious cloud on the mountain. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." We will follow Jesus. We will listen to Jesus. We will pay attention to what he has to say to us. And as we consider and as we listen, let us pay attention to the one who loved us more than any one of us could ever imagine. For it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, shall we be with our Savior for all eternity. And as we travel this Lenten season, as we travel and walk with Jesus, let us each remember Jesus' words, as he has said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." For it is the Christ, our Savior, our Lord, who has willingly laid down his life for us and in our place, and who has won and earned eternal life for each and every one of us. May we turn to that God in grace and peace and listen to the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, for all good things. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.